The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, September 17, 2017. Broadcasting live from the studios at WGBB 1240 AM and 95.9 FM in West Babylon, New York. Tonight is the NHL Preview Show. Gary Harding, John Panarese, John Sweeney, and our special guest for the first hour, Paul Kreischer from Isles Talk, joining you on this Sunday evening. Good evening, gentlemen, and how are we doing? It's hockey season, guys.
Hockey season.
Hard to believe.
It's exactly. No football, no baseball, no calls, no nothing. We're also talking hockey for the next few hours.
All hockey, all the time. A beautiful win today for the Islanders to come back in their first preseason.
Exactly. Right? So let me just let everybody know, for the next 2 hours, we're going to have 16 different people talk about half the NHL. We couldn't squeeze 30 people in a two-hour show, 31 people in a two-hour show. So we're going to do our best. We've got some of my friends and some other media people calling from around the country and from Canada, and they're going to talk about 6 minutes, and we've given them four questions, basically discuss some specific things about their teams, and we'll riff with them. And please let us know if you have any questions or comments or anything like that. You can actually tweet us at SportsTalk1240. Or at G Harding WGBB, and we will definitely add some things on if we can. So what we're going to do right now, since Paul's in the studio with us, and Paul came all the way out from Milford, Pennsylvania to be at the game today. He's our long distance traveler.
Yeah, I'm in the hot seat first.
You are in the hot seat, my man.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, we figured we'd start off with the team we love and support the most, the New York Islanders. And again, for those of you that didn't know or listening around the country, the New York Islanders played their first preseason game of the year, and it was a return to the barn, to the place that Islander fans called home for 43 seasons, the Nassau Coliseum, which is now called NYCB Live. So, Paul, before we get into the four questions, I know you talked to a few people on the parking lot and stuff.
Yep.
What were your overall thoughts of the day coming back home?
It was family coming back together again. Just all of the traditions. The food is great. The people were laughing hysterically. And I was just standing as an observer quite a few times, and I just saw a lot of people just nod their heads and, like, I'm happy. Like, I honestly saw that. Several times, like they were back home.
Well, actually, you gave a comment to me earlier about one of the players on the ice during the anthem. You might as well mention that.
Oh, yeah. Jason Chimera was soaking it all in. That was during the final part of the anthem, and the pack, 13,000.
900 and change.
900 and change. Everyone at Nassau Coliseum were chanting, "Let's go, Islanders." It was so intimidating, but Jason Chimera was on the bench, and he's just looking up at the entire crowd in awe. Like, it's like, this is hockey. This is this is what we were all here for.
I'm actually getting chills. What you're telling me?
I know. So am I. It's
just like I'm not going to lie. I was down there in the third row in the corner, and when the Islander fans exploded, like, there's no other way to describe it. When they exploded the way they did, I almost teared up.
Well, the greatest comment I saw on Facebook today, they said it sounded louder for an Islander preseason game than it sounded for a playoff game at Barclays Center. So that just tells you in one simple sentence what it felt like for Paul and I and my wife Claire, who's actually helping out in the studio tonight. For those of you on the webcam, you can see her. So let's get into it while we got a couple of minutes. Obviously, you know, we all know, you know, the shape of our team and what it's looked like, but for the people that are, you know, listening around the country, and give us a couple of minutes of, you know, how do you feel the organization did, how they, you know, you think that they've made improvements, serious improvements, have they stayed the same, maybe slipped a notch, you know, what's your thoughts of how the organization did as far as improving or helping the team out?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of Islander fans who wanted one transaction to happen over the summer, did not happen, so they're going to feel that the Islanders did not make any improvements. But I feel they had to remove a couple of players who just had bad seasons last year, and they replaced them with some of the younger players. So, for example, Ryan Strome was traded for Jordan Eberle. But Jordan Eberle is, for now, we'll say, will probably be on the first line with John Tavares and Anders Lee. But now you're giving Josh Hosang a chance.
Now I'm assuming that's an upgrade. We got.
I'm going to take Josh Hosang over Ryan Strome on the right wing. Absolutely.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
Because
major upgrade.
I believe Josh Hosang will not only improve his numbers, but he'll be able to make up Ryan Strome's, and he'll make Brock Nelson a better scorer. And he'll get Andrew Ladd or whoever's on that left wing side. Josh Hosang's going to get them all involved.
So I obviously you mentioned Hosang, and now as far as who do you think is going to be the person in your mind that needs to be taking themselves up to the next level? Obviously, we saw somebody today in Matthew Barzal that, to me, just screams rookie of the league candidate right now.
I want to know what level he has. I want to know how high he can go. He's a rocket. I mean, speed-wise, he went through everybody. He's got the scorer's touch. And I had said this to Gary before. I'm kind of glad during the preseason that Barzal is with Bailey because we know the kind of player that Bailey is. He's a setup guy.
Yes.
This also forces Barzal to shoot the puck because Barzal is also known to set people up.
If he can get greedy,
throw in a couple of goals, that just elevates his game even more.
Now, obviously, with the Islanders' case, it's important that the young guys step up, the Barzals, the Hosangs. When you look on the defensive side of the game, I know you mentioned it, so we'll let you tell it. But
oh, yeah.
Who are you really rooting for on the D to step themselves up?
I really want to see Ryan Pulock.
So do we all.
I've been. Gary was there during the 2013 draft lottery when he was when we were there at Nassau Coliseum. He's like, who are you picking? And I said, Ryan Pulock. He was the second-best offensive defenseman in that draft. And the Islanders, for better or for worse, they have developed him properly. And let me tell you, he was flying up and down the ice today. He's got that booming shot. And I'm telling you, I've never heard 13,000 people yell at Pulock to shoot the puck the way he was supposed to because he's got
almost
such a blistering
like shoot
shot.
The puck Barry, right?
But he's so diversified now because people know he's got the shot. He's passing it more. He'll fake a shot, and he can bring that puck up much better than he used to.
Yeah, and he's accomplished everything he can down there.
Absolutely. And here's the other thing. I love Travis Hamonic.
Yeah.
As a
forward. We all do. We all
but
love
he
him.
I'm wearing his jersey right now. But he had a bad season. He had a bad season last year, and I think Ryan Pulock, as a player now overall, will be better than Travis Hamonic's poor season last year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is saying a lot. You know, the other thing about Travis is he's been hurt the last three seasons.
Exactly. And nothing against Travis.
No, but that's the West style of game he plays, you know.
He's going to do fine, and we're going to miss him because he is a good guy.
Absolutely.
And he did great for us for the years that he was here. I miss him, too. I miss Jersey as well. And but I think it's time to move up these young kids.
Right. So the last thing we'll get with Paul, and then we'll go start moving across the NHL. Obviously, we know that Doug Waite had a great season as coach, second best record in the NHL from when he started to the end of the season. Obviously, we missed the playoffs by one little point, you know, and we all know what the problem was with the Islander team last year was the start.
Correct.
So, obviously, looking at the expectations, I would assume that in your mind, the best thing that this team needs is they're going to have to come out of the box a heck of a lot better than they did last season.
Absolutely. They need to get out of the gate. This is going to be the toughest division in all of the NHL.
Bar none.
The Central may give them a decent run, but you're looking at seven teams right out of the gate who have a legitimate shot at the playoffs in the Metro, and the Islanders have to get off to a great start. And the big question is, was the second half of last year a fluke?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Was it a fluke, or was it, you know, or the Islanders for real this year? And we're going to find out.
Okay, gun to your head right now. Playoffs?
Yes.
Okay. Playoffs?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, I knew we would be 4-for-4 on that. It's our show, so it's all right. All right, cool. Well, look, Paul, we appreciate it. Hang out with us. I know you're going to be
Absolutely.
Here for a while before you head back to Pennsylvania. So what we're going to do right now, next on the schedule, is the Washington Capitals. Again, another team in the Metropolitan Division. I couldn't get anybody from the Washington area, so I basically force-fed one of our good buddies, Brad Kurtzberg, to come on the line and talk like he lives in either the D.C. area or Maryland. Brad, how's...
Uh-oh.
That's your answer right there.
Oh, that's your answer. Brad, are you there?
I am here. I am here.
Okay, that's all right. I think Claire hit the wrong button, so she's not fired yet, but we'll see.
Can't fire her.
Yeah, no. The envelope's going to be a little smaller at the end of the night.
Yeah, exactly. How's it going, Brad?
It's going well. How are you?
All right, thanks for joining us. So, again, putting yourself in the Washington Capitol head here. Lots of some changes on the horizon. Again, a team that's won the President's Cup, the President's Trophy, the last two seasons. What do you think the job of the general manager did for the Washington Capitals this season? Do you think they could have done all they could have done, or was there maybe some more things they could have stressed themselves on?
You know, that, the way you put that question, it's a tough one because they had a cap crunch. You knew they were going to lose some players, and they did. They lost a lot of quality players. Look at who's gone. Justin Williams, Marcus Johansson, Daniel Winnick, Carl Alsner, Nate Schmidt, Kevin Shattenkirk. That's a lot of talent. They did keep T.J. Oshie. I think that was a very good move, and I think there's still a lot of talent here. But I can't say this was an A-plus kind of a summer in Washington. The team is definitely not as good as they were when the playoffs ended last season.
Do you think the fact that they, you know, they got that 55, 56 wins, get 116 points, and get themselves to the top of the land, that they just maybe lost a gear or two going into the playoffs?
You know, I think that's part of it. I think especially not so much last year, but 2 years ago, I think they were really so concerned about winning the President's Trophy and getting Holtby be the wins record and all that kind of stuff. And I think that did burn them out a little bit. But I think there's also a problem in Washington psychologically. This is a franchise that has never won the Stanley Cup. They've only been to one final. I lived down there for 3 years. I'm familiar with the fan base and all that. Once the playoffs come, especially, they are waiting for the other foot to drop. If you remember the Ranger fans before 1994, where, you know, something bad happens in a playoff game and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, this is the beginning of the end, that psychological belief sort of exists both with the fans and I think somewhere in the franchise of the Washington Capitals. Great regular season team, fragile emotionally when they get into the playoffs.
Brad, let me ask you this question. Considering they lost all those players, and they once again they can't get out of the second round, who is the player that's going to step it up? When that was a lot of talent they lost this year, Shattenkirk and those boys, and this was the year I thought they were going to the Cup or going deep. But who's going to step up this year now after all that talent's gone?
I'll tell you, I'll give you one forward and one defenseman. Up front, it's got to be Burkowski. He's got to be the guy who steps up and sort of, you know, gives them a little more scoring depth because they've lost a lot of that.
Yeah, they definitely.
And they're very susceptible to injuries. You know, last year this was a deep, deep team. They're still very talented this year, but if injuries hit them, they're going to be in trouble. And the other thing is they need some of these younger players to really step up and assume bigger roles. I think Burkowski is the guy on defense. And then I'm looking at possibly one of their top prospects on defense, Christian Juice, who may just have to step in and assume a bigger role than anybody anticipated a little sooner. The losses on defense, I think, are more of a problem than the losses on offense just because of the way the depth on this team sort of played out.
So what do you think this year? You think they're gonna? How far do you think they're going to go? You think they'll break that curse and get past the second round? Maybe go to the Cup?
I don't. I think, you know, here's the crazy thing. They're not winning the President's Trophy this year.
No.
Okay?
I agree.
You can bank on that.
That might be the best thing that could happen to them. You know, the idea of finishing, let's say, fifth or sixth in the conference instead of, you know, first, and having to sort of fight for it.
Play somebody that doesn't have a black and gold jersey, maybe? And we'll talk to Pittsburgh in about 10 minutes.
Oh, it's very tough for them psychologically to face Pittsburgh. They always seem to find a way to lose when they face Pittsburgh in the playoffs. And you know, you've always got the rivalry between Crosby and Ovechkin. And even when you go back to, like, the Penguins' Stanley Cup heyday in the early 90s when they won back-to-back cups, They overcame Washington, overcame a 3-1 deficit 1 year to win a series. So they do have a fragile psychological state, especially when it gets to the postseason, and especially when it comes to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I want to ask you this: what do you think is going to actually the outcome of the Grade Eight is going to happen with him. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to finish the season there? If they don't make, say they have a horrible year this year and they don't make the, I know they're not going to, but I'm just saying.
I can't see them dealing him just because of one basic thing. He is the face of the franchise and he sells tickets. And it would be very difficult for them just economically to trade him away. It might make sense on the ice if the team needs to do a complete rebuild, but maybe it would take at least another year down the road for them to sort of realize, hey, you know, it's like that old thing they said to Ralph Kiner when he wanted to renegotiate his contract. Hey, we could finish last without you. But I don't think they're anywhere close to the basement yet.
And he's not getting any younger either. That's the other thing, too.
No, he's not.
You know, his value is, you know, not going to be forever.
No, no question about that. You know, if there was a time to trade him, it would either be this year or next year,
right,
I would think.
Right, because he's 30, 32?
And a team could still say, hey, we can get 3, 4, 5 good years out of him, even if it's not going to be 40 or 50 goals a year anymore.
Still one of the greatest goal scorers of all time. In the top 10 of all time, maybe 5, top 5.
Yeah, but no Stanley Cup on his resume. Yeah.
And that's going to be the big thing. It'll be like a Dan Marino, great player, but not a winner.
And forever when they compare Crosby and Ovechkin, it's going to be like, you know, hey, Crosby has however many cups he's going to finish with, and if Ovechkin has none, that's always going to be a black mark against him. It's going to be like Charles Barkley against Michael Jordan, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, listen, Brad, we appreciate the few minutes playing the Caps hat, and we'll definitely be catching you during the season, and I'll see you at the Barkley Center.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care.
Take care, buddy.
So it'll be very interesting to see what Washington does. So now we're going to cross time zones. We're going to head out to the central part of the country and to the St. Louis Blues. And my buddy John Edwards is on the line. He's he's also a radio and TV guy doing sports out there. So, John, how's it going, buddy? Long time no talk.
Gary, how are you, my friend? How is everybody else in the rest of the studio?
Hey, we're doing good. So, St. Louis. Tell us a little. So, not tremendous amount of movement. What do you think was the overall result of the general manager's play this season? Do you think they did not enough? They could have did more. What do you think?
I don't think they were really in a position to do anything more because they had to sign Colton Parayko, in which they did. They were able to sign him for $27.5 million.
Yeah, that's a big contract.
Bought his new Ferrari this summer. And, unfortunately, I don't believe that this team has changed much outside of what they had last year. They swapped Shen for Laterra in the center position, so they add a little bit of grit in the center position. But they traded fan favorite Ryan Reeves to Pittsburgh
for a Sundquist.
And they bring in Chris Thornburg, and unfortunately, that's given up a lot. There was just Reeves brought just so much energy to this team, and unfortunately, I think they're going to lose a little bit of that this year. And really, if you look at their roster, top to bottom, they didn't change anything outside of the couple of players that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They brought no one in, and really, it was only a couple of swaps, and other than that, it's really about it.
As far as the goaltending situation is concerned, obviously, Allen had a decent season. Who is the backup there in St. Louis?
Carter Hutton will be the backup
again
this year. And actually, Carter Hutton did a really nice job when Jake Allen was struggling. And Ken Hitchcock, when he was here, had this whole thing that, if a goaltender got a shutout, the goaltender would come back and start the next game. Well, Hitchcock was almost a guy who went away from his own theory and then would go back to Jake Allen. So Carter Hutton will be the backup again this year. And really, right now, I think the Blues have a very solid 1-2 tandem in goal that, it's like a 1 and a 1A because Carter Hutton legitimately could be a starting goaltender somewhere in this league.
Which player do you think? I mean, St. Louis has been pretty much a perennial playoff team, and based on what you said about the roster really not changing much, which guy do you think, if you look up and down that team, who do you think needs to maybe bring his game up a little bit or bring it to the next level to really help give St. Louis that push?
Well, this year you got to look at it like this. Robbie Fabry was injured back before the beginning of the new year, took him out for the rest of the season. and he was gone from the lineup. So you lose goal scoring depth there. They got some goal scoring in Patrick Berglund, but he's out now until December with the surgery. And the guy for me that's going to probably have to step it up is going to be Jaden Schwartz out there for the Blues. He's a player that he goes through stretches in which he'll score goals for you, and then he completely disappears from the scoring page. And he's going to be that one guy this year that really needs to step up. But then also, Alexander Steen has to step up as well. Last year, a complete off year for
Steen.
I don't know if he was missing the David Backes that he had been playing alongside for those couple of years before Backes left for Boston. But I think Steen this year and also Jaden Schwartz are going to have to really step up for this Blues team, that if they're going to be competitive and chase the Blackhawks, because in the Central they always chase the Blackhawks, those two players are going to have to put some points on the page.
Let me ask you a question, guys. That's a tough division you guys are in over there. What do you think the Blues are going to finish up this year? How far do you think they can go to a cup, win the cup this year?
You know, I'm hopeful for the longtime fans here that have suffered through year after year of hoping that they would get as far as they did. And 2 years ago, they went to the conference final.
Right.
And then
right.
they made the playoffs last year. And I don't think they're going to get to the finals this year. I think they get to the second round again. And if Nashville is as good as they were last year, they'll struggle in the playoffs if they meet Nashville again in the playoffs.
John's formerly from New Jersey, by the way, just an FYI. So, you know, that's why I think he said the kind of thing he did. The other question I had with St. Louis, and again, obviously the end of last season, you know, Kevin Shattenkirk was gone, and, you know, unfortunately, Washington, I think, wishes they could take that back. How do you see the defensive situation in St. Louis this year?
You know, defensively, they're going to roll out Bo Meester and Petrangelo, and they'll roll out, Parayko and Joel Edmondson. Carl Gunnarsson's that guy that people give Carl Gunnarsson a hard time, but he's a player that's pretty solid and gives you some minutes. The sixth spot for me is kind of up in the air. Nate Prosser comes in the training camp this year. He could be a guy that gets that spot. So really, it's kind of up in the air what's going to happen with that defensive core. But for five, I mean, they have a solid five, but who will be that sixth? I'm not really sure.
Right. All right, John, we're going to have to move on to the next city. But we thank you very much for coming on, and good luck, and we'll definitely talk to you during the season. All right, man?
Good luck this year.
Gentlemen, have a good evening, and I'll be listening to the rest of the show.
All right, great. Thanks, John.
All right, see you guys.
All right, take care. All right, so we don't have to, start bowing, because now we have our representative from the two-time Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins. And our buddy Bill, who has called this show before, is joining us on the line right now. Bill, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing good, Gary. How are you guys doing?
All right. Well, at least we're happy about Notre Dame from yesterday, so we'll leave that be. So,
well, there could be a connection here with the rest of the questions you asked me.
Okay. Obviously, some transition, losing a Nick Bonino, obviously Marc-Andre Fleury going to the Vegas Golden Knights, Matt Cullen. But it always seems to me in the last couple of years when someone leaves that team, somehow Rutherford does his job and brings somebody in, and it seems like a seamless transition. Are we going to see that kind of a same seamless move this year in Pittsburgh? Obviously, you were just saying, I know you got the tough guy, Mr. Reeves, from Pittsburgh, and I mean from St. Louis, and we just talked to John Edwards before.
Right,
so obviously
that's
a big move.
Yeah, well, here's the difference. From before, when we lost a few players here and there via free agency, you know, we usually had, you know, or they signed in the offseason someone to replace them. This year, we got Reeves, and it was a trade. I mean, literally, the only player we signed as a free agent, you know, off the books was, you know, a backup goalie in Antoniemi, which was a great signing, losing Marc-Andre Fleury. So now this team is really relying on the young players and the depth they have in their minor league system and the people they signed on minor league contracts, basically, to step up. And it's going to be a battle whether those guys can do it. Now, they've always had the talent, and they perform very well. But now they're going to, some of them are going to be expected to play a different role, one or two of them, than they have in the past. And that's going to be the biggest change between the last 2 years and this year.
Bill, I got a question for you. I live very close to Wilkes-Barre and the Baby Pens and whatnot, and we've seen Jake Guentzel perform very well in the playoffs, which helped Pittsburgh win the Stanley Cups. Now it's going to get his first full season. I want to get your thoughts on him. Do you think he should be the player that steps up for Pittsburgh, or is there someone else you're thinking of?
Well, that's the big question we have right now. I mean, they truly want Jake to be the winger for Sidney Crosby. I mean, obviously we've seen the magic they have together. However, right now, which is the first thing that Pittsburgh can say in probably over 10 years, we need centers right now.
Yeah.
Right now, we have Crosby, Malkin, and, you know, right now, on paper, Connor Rowney, which, you know, he's going to be a great fourth-line center, but not third-line center. And that's the one thing that Jim Rutherford's still looking for, and there's rumors that he's got someone in mind that may pop in, not necessarily now, but maybe by the start of the season. And one of the people that are trying to think of that could play that third role center is Jake, because he's played center.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that puts him off the Crosby line, which where they want him to be. But at the beginning of the season, you know, you have to make adjustments. You do what you can. If it doesn't work, well, then you make adjustments during the season.
Is there anybody in particular that you can think of who might end up being like the dark horse? You know, like it just seems Pittsburgh magically gets these guys. You know, you never hear of until the season, especially later down the stretch run. You know, all of a sudden they emerge and they just step into the spotlight and they go with it. Is there anybody else who Pittsburgh might find, you know, might pull that magic trick again?
Oh, there's a couple guys they have. Outside the ones we just talked about, you know, because they always seem to find those ones. You know, like I said, the last couple of years, you know, as great as the superstars been, but they wouldn't have won the Cups without the unknown guys, the Jake Guentzels last year,
right,
the Connor Shearers, the Brian Rust the year mm-hmm. before, Tommy Tuchel, Scott Wilson. I mean, these are the guys that they're going to rely on to probably be just not role players now. They have to be at the forefront. But as far as guys that have not been there on a full-time basis or even been in their league, there's two guys this organization is thinking about, and Daniel Sprong is one who had a little cup of coffee before he went back to his juniors when he was an 18-year-old, played about 10 games, and when I saw him, I thought, boy, he just fits in the NHL right now. He didn't see a lot of time after he got back sent down 2 years ago because he got injured. But he had a very solid season last year. He's one guy. And the other guy, if you want to, you know, put his sleeper in there, is Zach Austin Reese, which is a guy they signed out of college, one of those college free agent guys that, you know, signed with the Penguins. Between the two of them, one of the two, if not both, is going to make this final 18-man roster, unless between now and then they make a trade or something
right,
like that.
Which is always possible, especially yep. when you get closer to the beginning of the season and teams
right.
are dealing with cap space issues and it can be
okay.
victimized.
Right. Okay,
and,
Bill,
and,
one goal. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The Penguins have had that history. You know, they pulled up these guys where you don't think they've lost a lot of veteran leadership of this, and that's going to be the key to this team. Whether the young guys take over for that leadership, especially in the penalty-killing role, that's going to be the main focus on the penalty-killing, is where the Penguins can, you know, change what they had before.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all younger guys basically on the penalty-killing role. That's their biggest change from last year to this year.
Well, it's definitely going to be interesting. We'll see if, you know, your team can do, again, the last team, who was the last team to do a three-peat? Guys,
Islanders.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got your shot. We'll
see. I know that's why you're not. For other reasons why you're rooting against us.
Bill, I love you, man. You know that. Listen. Right. We appreciate you coming on, and
let me just tell you one other thing.
Real quick, okay? Because we got to go to commercial.
Absolutely, but it's the biggest thing for any team. Our health is going to be the biggest factor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
I totally agree with that.
Plus you got a 20.
Yeah.
He still won the cup, and plus you got a 24-year-old superstar that won two cups on behind the net.
Yep, exactly. Listen, Bill, have a great season.
Have a great season.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you soon.
Have a great season.
All right, thanks. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have the New Jersey Devils, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Colorado Avalanche, and the Buffalo Sabres coming on in the next half hour of Sports Talk 1240. We will be back in a few minutes.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Okay, and we're back with the second segment of Sports Talk 1240. Gary Harding, John Panarese, John Sweeney here with you. Again, G Harding WGBB on Twitter if you got anything to add on to here. And we are going to come back to the eastern part of the nation, specifically our friends from about 30 miles to the west of us, the New Jersey Devils. And again, my buddy here, John Winkler, former Long Islander, by the way, grew up in Center Reach,
wow.
Moved to New Jersey, and now is in Wilmington, North Carolina, and he's joining us. John, Gary, John in here, so long to talk to you. How you been, buddy?
Pretty good. Actually, Farmingville, not Center Reach.
Oh, well, sorry. I know you went to Sachem, I know, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, interesting season or off-season in New Jersey.
Oops.
Did we lose?
I'm here.
Okay, all right. We just again a little problem with our phone person here. So again,
the envelope's getting smaller.
The tip's getting smaller. Interesting. A lot of moves in the off season. Obviously, you know, a tough season last year in New Jersey, getting the number one pick. A few extra moves to fortify the team. What's your thoughts on how the GM and the organization handled the changes for the season?
I think they had a really good offseason. I mean, we'll start with, this is his, Ray Shiro's third offseason, and he's made a big trade every year. This time, Marcus Johansson.
Yes.
Great deal. We picked him up, first of all, forward, play all three forward positions. He can score 20, maybe 30 goals. And it cost us, two draft picks that weren't even our own. You know, they were acquired and traded from other teams, so we were still able to use those picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could say they capitalized on Washington's bad salary situation. Made a couple of other trades. They got Mirko Mueller from San Jose. I mean, he's not a big name, but his main skill is that he's a puck-moving defenseman, which is something we're woefully lacking in. Then Coach Hines convinced Will Butcher to sign with the Devils as a free agent. That's, you know,
going to be probably a great boontus down the road. And he credited Coach Hines for making him want to come there. And then, obviously, we lucked out with the lottery, got the number one pick, made a great pick with Nico Hischier, and then made some nice value picks in the later rounds. Jesper Boqvist is supposed to be pretty good. And they got the big Russian Nikita Popovev in the fourth round when he was second-round talent, according to the Hockey News.
Is the main player that you guys are keying on, I mean, Taylor Hall is obviously a guy, but who are they surrounding with Taylor Hall on that line that's going to push you guys to the next level?
The first line's still up in the air. I mean, Hall's going to be on the left side. Palmieri's going to be on the right. Right now, Johansson's going to be their center, but there's also a possibility of Pavel Zacha taking that spot. I don't think they're going to put Hischier there right away because they don't want to put too much on him, make him the first-line center. But right now, Johansson is the guy on that line.
Right. What was I thinking? Oh, Henrik would be on the second line probably?
Most likely. There's also a possibility that they can put him in there. He does have familiarity with Hall from junior, but they tried that last year to, you know, middling success. So I don't know if they're going to go that route, but he's one of the three possibilities as well.
Now, I think one of the you could discuss this. I think it was a very, very interesting signing, getting Severson on the board for 5 years at, I think, a pretty decent-sized contract. I mean, you know, that so you figure you're locked with Andy Green and Severson as your 1-2 pair. Obviously, Moore and Lovejoy is your number 3 and 4. But so, do you think Butcher really's got a shot to be in that 5-6 slot, or do you possibly let him go 1 year in the minors and build his game up a little more before you put him into that senior role?
Well, it's a possibility because he's got good offensive skills. I mean, yes, he definitely used some seasoning in the AHL as well, but I mean, let's be honest, our defense is not very good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had to sign Damon Severson because he's our best offensive defenseman, and you know, it got a little nerve-wracking that they left it go so long, but they got him in there, so him and Green are the first pair.
And it's a good cap-friendly contract for Severson.
Yeah, at least for a couple more. Yeah, it's a pretty good contract, 6 years, 4.1 per year.
Yeah, that's,
you know, they're banking on him improving as he goes along.
Hey, he's only 23.
He's a young guy. Obviously, Andy's older, but you know, they may be the number one pair for a couple of years until it's time for Andy to move on, and then hopefully guys like Will Butcher or Steven Santini have grown and are able to jump in there. I mean, I'd like to see a guy who concentrates on defense like Santini more than Butcher with Damon, but you never know.
Right, John?
I think that, you know, personally, I think Jersey made probably the biggest splash or biggest progress in the offseason of all the teams that come to mind. How do you feel in the overall big picture of things? I mean, the Metro is going to be a very tough division, but how do you think the Devils are going to fare as far as, are they going to make the playoffs, and if they can, are they going to make some noise?
I have no delusions here. There's too much to overcome. I mean, Pittsburgh, Washington, Columbus, the Rangers, all still better teams. You know, Carolina, the Islanders, and Flyers all finished ahead of the Devils. Carolina improved. They got a goaltender. You know, Islanders just barely missed the playoffs. You know, that's just too many teams to jump. I think there will be some pretty good improvement, but I just can't see them making the playoffs. There's too much to overcome. You know, maybe in another year or two, then we can talk about doing that. But right now, I'm not going to predict something that really isn't going to happen.
Well, again, it's a team that's team that's moving in the right direction.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I think that's good to see. But listen, John, we appreciate the few minutes of your time, and I will definitely get in touch with you as the season goes on.
All right, sounds good.
All right, man, take care. Good talking to you.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
All right. So, Again, it's going to be a tough year for Jersey, but again, like I said, I think they're moving. They are definitely moving in the right direction.
I agree 100% with you. They're moving in the right direction. They got a lot of good young talent.
All right, so we are going to now change. We're going to keep in the division, and we're going to move out to Ohio, out to Columbus. Mr. Tortorella Land. And my good buddy, the president of the Jacket Backers Booster Club, David Baker, is joining us. David, Gary, John here on Long Island. Welcome back to hockey, my friend.
Yeah, I'm glad to be with you guys.
All right. So, the one big deal, Brandon Saad for Mr. Antti Panarin of Chicago. I know he had a couple of real good seasons with the Jackets. I mean, how did was the trade taken?
I think for the most part, everybody in Columbus is really happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
With the playoff games last year against Pittsburgh, we outchanced them almost every game. We just couldn't put the puck in the net.
Well, I could speak for the three of us in the studio. We were rooting real hard.
Yes,
real hard.
Very hard.
and I think Artemi Panarin gives us that sniper, that, you know, Ovechkin-style player that can just bang the puck in the net when he needs to. So I think it's going to do a lot of great things for us.
Let me I just want to ask you one quick question about Tortorella.
Sure.
He's pointing at me. I don't know.
No. How do you guys feel? How do you like? I mean, I love the guy. I think he's a great.
I love him. Yeah. I've been waiting for a coach in Columbus since day one. Like Torts, no talks. You know, no coach speak. He tells you like it is in his press conferences after the game.
They're always entertaining.
If the team's been bad, he will look him right in the camera and say, "We suck tonight."
Yeah.
And in that case, like, what player actually do you think needs to step it up big time for you guys to step up to the next level? I think you guys did a great trade actually for you guys. But what do you think the next young player that's going to come up and change the franchise?
I mean, the obvious choice is saying Bobrovsky's got to be good, but everyone knows that. With us and the way we line up and what happened in the off season, I think it's Pierre-Luc Dubois, the number three pick from a couple years ago. Losing William Karlsson, our third line center, to Vegas, it's created a huge hole. Not a lot of guys on the roster. I mean, they've talked about possibly moving Boone Jenner and Nick Foligno there to play center, but I think it's got to be Dubois.
Well, we were hoping for that Long Island kid,
Sonny Milano. Sonny Milano. Yeah,
he's going to be something else, that kid.
Yeah, and I mean, unless Jarmo Kekalainen is not done, and from things I've heard, he might not be.
No, there's a lot of guys that are not done. But now, again, you mentioned Bobrovsky before, and it always seems like it's an every other year situation.
Yeah,
obviously, last year was a very good season. Do you have that concern? Obviously, you know, he's injury prone, and that bug hits him at the wrong times. I guess you're kind of crossing your fingers on this one.
Well, I'm not as concerned. I mean, with what he did in the off season last season. He changed his routine. He changed how he trains. He lost weight. He got his flexibility back, and it showed with the Vezina that he's keeping that routine. I'm not that concerned. From what I've seen in the little bit of camp I've been at, looks good.
Now, here's my question, and, you know, it's funny. I think Columbus is one of those teams that I think some of the quote-unquote hockey pundits are not taking completely seriously as far as thinking last season was a fluke, quote-unquote. What do you think? I mean, do you expect to see the Jackets as strong as they were last season?
108 points and 50-some-odd wins? Probably not. But I do see them as a playoff team. And I really think they can get through the first round as long as they don't have to go through Pittsburgh in it.
Yeah, that's all you praise. You don't want to see. You want to see. Black
I don't think anybody wants to
April.
Play Pittsburgh in the first round.
And with the way the division is and what's changed in the offseason, I mean, I can see Washington taking a step back, which probably means Pittsburgh wins the division. And if that happens, we don't get them in the first round. And from that point, who knows what's going to happen.
I mean, you look up and down the Metro, and again, we talked with a couple other teams in the Metro. I mean, every team seems to have improved. I mean, the one team we don't have on this list of people calling in tonight is Carolina, and to me, they're the ones that are going to be, and all the NHL pundits have them as the big dark horse because they got this no name lineup, but every kid looks solid on that team.
Yeah, they're going to be scary. They're going to have a really good defense. I think with that team, it's going to come down to their goaltending. I mean, if their goaltending holds up, they're going to be really tough to beat if, you know, Alak and what is it?
Ken, Scott Darling.
Or Darling. I mean, who knows if Darling can really be a starter, you know, for a full season.
Yeah, he's going to get his chance. Now, who's the who is the backup in Columbus right now?
In Columbus, it's Jonas Korpisalo.
Oh, Korpisalo, right. They just signed him recently. Okay.
Yeah, he's back for another season, backing up Bob. So far in camp, he's looked really, really good. Won them the Calder Cup 2 years ago. So
that's right.
He's got some talent.
So there's a lot of it. Still seems to be a lot of good positives in Columbus, and it's great. I know you know for years and years you guys struggled, you know, with the fact of having teams that weren't as formidable as they are now. And again, you've got a great nucleus, and it should be a lot of fun for you guys, and I'm sure it'll be a lot of happy days out there.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, listen, Dave, I appreciate you coming on with us, and, you know, good luck the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot down the way.
Not a problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.
Good luck this year.
Okay, bye.
All right, so we leave the Metropolitan Division, and we head into the Mountain Time. We are heading to the Colorado Avalanche. Now, let me just preface this for you two guys here and the guys on the show. The gentleman that's calling is one of my old high school buddies from Levittown, and he is a New York Ranger fan, actually by way of me, believe it or not, and we'll leave that off the show till another time. But he has recently moved to Denver, Colorado, and I needed somebody to cover the Avalanche, and so he's going to assume the role. Mike Castro, Gary Harding, John, and John here on Sports Talk 1240. Good evening out in the mountains. How are you?
How you doing, Gary? Doing great out here. It's always beautiful in Colorado.
It is always beautiful.
Unless, of course, you're an Avs fan.
But so we asked you to put the cap on, and obviously, you know, when you look at the Avalanche roster, and again, especially here with all the rumors that have gone on, and all you hear is two words, Matt Duchene. And, of course, he goes into camp, and he does his photos for the pre-camp shooting, and he doesn't look like a happy camper. Everybody in Denver is as happy about it as him?
Well, you know, Duchene reported to camp on Thursday with the uninspiring quote, "I am here to fulfill my contract."
Yeah.
That's not always something you want to hear.
No.
Yeah. It looks like Sakic has been trying to move him, but the reports are that he's basing what he's asking for on his career body of work. And the other GMs around the league, justifiably so, are trying to base what they're offering based on what he did last year, which was 18 goals and 23 assists, which is not superstar numbers. Until that gap can close a little bit.
Yep.
What are they asking? Was it two first-rounders? Is that what they want for him?
Yeah, they're looking for first-rounders, or they're looking for a blue-chip defenseman, because that's where they have sore need here.
That's
on
their
defense.
Big Achilles heel at this point.
Yep, absolutely.
But looking at the rest of the team, obviously, you know, it's a young roster, a lot of guys fighting for positions, and you've got solid contributors, at least on the forward line for Colorado. You got Landeskog, you got guys that have known to be able to put the puck in a net. So you obviously the problem is not on the offensive side of the ledger. Obviously, it's the defensive side that's going to be showed its weaknesses last year big time, and will it be the same way this year, you think?
It certainly looks that way. They've done very little to upgrade the roster. They're pretty much coming to camp with the same team they had last year. And Varlamov is the key. If he's going to stay healthy and have another Vezina candidate season, and then they always have a shot to be competitive if you have a top goalie. But his health has always been in question. And in the expansion draft, they lost Calvin Pickard, who was one of the few bright spots last year as a very solid backup.
That's, you know, and that's the whole thing with Colorado. I that team is an enigma to me, because it's just, you know, the way they looked a few seasons ago, where they really looked like they would they turned it around under Patrick Roy, and it's like, what happened? Who really has to? I mean, obviously they got to get the Duchene situation, you know, resolved one way or another. But who really needs to kind of take the bull by the horns and really step up and kind of make a statement for this team, you know, at this point?
Well, I think that's got to be Nate MacKinnon.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a young kid. He's got a ton of physical talent. But, you know, you got to wonder what he's got between the shoulder pads and up in his helmet, because he doesn't give that consistent effort night after night. And sometimes he's too young to be going through the motions. So if he can get his confidence, if he can get some consistency and real focus, you know, a young guy like that, that can spread through the team, you know, because he has the potential to be a superstar, but he doesn't show it every single night. And if your young star is not out there leading by example, then what is the rest of the team going to think, and what kind of effort are they going to put in to follow him? So I think he's a key guy.
Right. I know Duchesne's probably a distraction for the team because from going from last year, what Sackett wanted and this and that, and it's still probably swirling all over you guys. But what do you actually think, how far do you think they go in the playoffs this year, if they make the playoffs this year?
That's going to be the question.
Yes. It's funny, in preparing for this, it never occurred to me that they would be in the playoffs. Yeah. That wasn't one of the things I considered. I mean, last year they had the worst points total in their history, and they added nobody of consequence and lost, you know, a good goaltender, a strong backup. Mm-hmm. So I don't really see. I mean, even with an expansion team coming into their conference, I don't see where they're going to be piling up a lot of extra points.
Because it's funny, because
rosters last year,
a couple of years ago, you guys were actually doing well.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I just don't understand it.
Well, that's when he was a Ranger fan 2 years ago.
I do have that effect on teams I root for.
Yes, you do. We could have a long conversation over that another time. But
that's right. Well, the thing is, a couple of years ago, that was it was pretty much a lot of smoke and mirrors. Varlamov just had an incredible season. I mean, he stole a lot of points for them. They came back the next year with, again, the same roster and fell short of the playoffs, and then came back one more year and were just dreadful.
So, I mean, if he can steal you four or five more games this season, I mean, there's obviously, you know, the chance. But, again, you're going to have to hope for miracles.
Miracles.
That's right. Anything can happen. You know, the younger guys can start to perform up to expectation. They get incredible goaltending. Mm-hmm. And if they can finally move Duchesne for somebody that can help, or at least somebody that can give the promise of help, so that the players can sit in that locker room and think, you know what, help is on the way, this is going to get better, then, you know, maybe the weight will be off their shoulders. Because I have to tell you, the atmosphere in the Pepsi Center is, it's terrible.
Yeah, and that's why you go to Colorado Screaming Eagle games, right?
Absolutely.
They were the ECHL champions last year.
Right, because, you know, this team showed up in Colorado and did nothing but win, you know, for a good 15 years.
Yep.
But now that after pretty much five out of the last six seasons have been pretty bad, and the fans have stopped showing up, at least Avalanche fans have.
Right.
Because the opposing team's fans show up in droves. Mm-hmm. You go to a Penguins game or a Blackhawks game or a Ranger game, and there are more visiting jerseys than home jerseys in the stands. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be disheartening for the home team.
I know the feeling.
Well, it's gonna be a long year, but your Screaming Eagles are doing well. Listen, Mike, I appreciate you coming on for a few minutes, and we'll definitely keep in touch. All right.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Take care.
All right.
So the last team, the first hour. Now, John, you have a connection to this team, so you can talk about it. Obviously, it is the Buffalo Sabres, and again, my former Islanders season ticket holder. Mate here, Chris St. Mary, and actually we got a tag team because his wife Mary is here, and Chris and Mary met at an NHL Booster Club convention in Buffalo years ago, and he fell in love, got married, moved up to Buffalo, so he's got Islander blood and Sabre blood in his veins. Hello, St. Mary family.
Hello. Hi, Gary.
How's it going?
All right. Islander plates on the truck, too. I get lots of comments.
Yes, exactly. So, all right. So let's dig right in, Chris, Mary. What? Obviously, a couple of changes going on.
Big changes.
You know, a lot of movements.
New GM, new coach.
All right. Now the first question I really have for you. We heard it was true that Eichel and Reinhardt came to camp in a tandem bike.
Yes, they did.
Oh, that must have been funny.
It was obviously a press type thing. They're kids, so they can be coerced into just about anything, probably.
But they are roommates, so.
Yes.
That's true. So, obviously, a big season, planning season for Eichel, because he's going to be up on his contract in another year. So, is the pressure really on him to make this big jump?
The big talk right now is they want to make sure that this doesn't affect the rest of the team the whole season. They're hoping that he gets signed before the actual season starts.
Doesn't it sound awfully familiar?
Yeah, it kind of has a familiar ring to it.
And Oposo's all healthy and everything now?
Yes, Oposo's going to be on the second line. They changed the lines up.
At least so far.
Yeah, so far, as far as for training camp. And it's like nobody knows who they're going to have on what line, but they're figuring that it's going to be Eichel's going to be on the first line, and Reinhardt will be on the second with Oposo, and I forgot who the third one was.
Palmerville,
like
maybe?
Change tomorrow anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the return of Palmerville.
Back to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they're proposing that the top line would be Eichel, Evander Kane, and Jason Palmerville.
Yeah, right.
Not bad.
So, I mean, has there been any talk ongoing with the saga that is Evander Kane? I mean, obviously he's a, you know.
He hasn't been here.
He kept his head down.
Yeah, he's kept his head down. I think the Riot Act has been read him enough times by the Pagulas that is not acceptable behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think the new GM would stand for it either.
Yeah, I mean, everything's, you know, new coach, new GM, some, you know, really significant changes, loss of a big fan favorite and a lot of grit in losing Marcus Foligno.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Ennis, unfortunately, due to his concussion history, hadn't really shown much in the past couple of years, so... it's going to be interesting to see Jason Palmerville back. That was a very popular move, and I'm excited to see him back.
Well, what do you think of the new GM, and what do you think of the moves overall that have been made? My brother lives in Buffalo in East Amherst, Chris.
Why would he do wrong?
that was his exile from Geico to go up there, but. You know, it's interesting the passion that Buffalo Sabre fans have and Buffalo Bill fans. So I always get a kick at listening to the radio, the sports talk stations and stuff. So what's the feeling with the new you know, basically commanders now of the team? And do you feel that the team's in good hands? Has it been righted? Are they heading in the right direction now?
I sure think they are.
So far, so good. He seems to be no nonsense, and he seems to have a good hockey sense. And I don't think there's going to be any screwing around like Kane did in the past, just for an example. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any sort of garbage like that because I don't think he'll stand for it.
But I think having Housley as the new coach, it's going to be much more of an offensive.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
More skating. You know, they may be losing, but at least they'll be, entertaining to watch.
And trying, yeah.
I mean, Bielsma just never seemed to click here, either with the fans or with the team. And... you know, this is not a city that likes to sit here and, you know, watch 1-0 games. You know,
no.
If you're going to lose, let's lose 6-5.
Looking at the back line, what's the comfortability factor of having both your goaltenders only on 1 year left on a contract? Leonard's got a $4 million deal. Chad Johnson, they brought in a former Islander for a one-year deal. Is there anybody in the wings, like maybe in Rochester, that they're possibly hoping to come up?
They have a couple. They have a guy in Rochester that... I doubt it because of what they've got right now loaded, but they say that he could possibly make the team, but they'd rather have him in Rochester getting some seasoning and experience. And the coach for Rochester is somebody that was an assistant coach for Wilkes-Barre Scranton because of the GM.
Right.
Knew him because he was in the same system.
But we think it's for Robin Leonard, it's a put up or shut up. You know, that's why they gave him a one-year deal, and I mean, I'm still not totally convinced that he's the answer, but, you know, let's see what he does, and hopefully he'll stay healthy. He has had a little bit of a history of being injured, so.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question, because when Oposo left and signed up there with you, he said this was the reason why he went to Buffalo, because he said they have the best shot of winning the Cup. What are your expectations that you think that they're going to have this year in the playoffs?
Hopefully they'll have a good season and make the playoffs, but... there's no guarantee. They're still rebuilding. They've been rebuilding for years now. They did basically tanking for a couple seasons to be able to get the early draft picks worth Eichel and Reinhardt. And they're basically trying hard to be able to build something here. I don't think they're there yet. They might make the playoffs. That would be nice, but no guarantee.
I think it would be a huge accomplishment, and I think that would satisfy the fans this year if they just made the playoffs.
Right.
That would be a step in the right direction.
Most definitely.
You know, they bolstered the defense with bringing Scardella over from Minnesota.
Scandella, America Scandella, yeah.
He's a good player.
He is. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's 6'3". He was a great acquisition, and, you know, this could really turn out to be the permanent defense pairing between him and Ristolainen. Yeah.
I think he's great.
So.
Well, still got the bogeyman around her neck, though, as far as...
the salary. He's got three more years, too.
Well, no, that was Bielsma. He just... Oh, yeah. Lord.
Well, listen, guys, we're gonna unfortunately we have to run into commercial time right now. But listen, we appreciate you coming. Thanks for both of you guys. The great.
I will be up there. I'll be up there a few times.
Yep,
this season.
And we'll definitely catch up soon. All right, guys, appreciate it.
Hook up with us while you're here.
Yeah. All right. All right. Talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. So we're gonna take a break. Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to be talking to folks from the New York Rangers, the Dallas Stars, the Los Angeles Kings, and the San Jose Sharks. So we're going to pay some bills. Gary, John, and John here for Sports Talk 1240, NHL Preview. 1 hour in the books, 1 hour to go. Stay tuned.
Live from West Babylon, New York. This is Sports Talk 1240.
And welcome back to hour number two of this NHL preview show on Sports Talk 1240. 1240 AM, WGBB 95.9 FM. Gary Harding, John Panarese, John Sweeney here with you.
Hello.
So we made it through the first hour. 8 teams in the books. We got 8 more to go. And we're not going to have to go too far because we're just going to have to go across the bridge into Manhattan. But I know our caller is calling from New Jersey. My good buddy Andrew Shapiro, big Ranger fan, joins us on the line. So, guys, behave here, all right? No fisticuffs going. My friend, how are you?
Hey, Gary. Hey, John. How you guys doing?
Good. So, first question. We haven't heard. I know it came out the other day. Have you heard anything on the situation with Kreider after he smashed into the boards in practice?
No, it's still status quo. And even if it's not, I mean, I think the Rangers are going to keep it under wraps as long as they possibly can because they're not going to come to the first preseason game tomorrow night against your Islanders and say, oh, well, Chris Kreider is going to be out for such and such amount of time. They're going to keep it under wraps. They're going to rest him.
Right.
And if it's something serious, when opening night rolls around, if he can't go, then they'll say, okay, well, he'll be out 5 to 6 games with a lower body injury or whatever it is.
Okay. In your heart of hearts, right now as it stands, and it's a tough question. I know it's been thrown around all over the place. Can you envision Mika Zibanejad as your number one center?
He's going to have to be, whether
it's
like it or not.
I know he has to be, but right.
I guess, you know what, I can see it based on the year he had last year. His speed is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's got great vision, got great hands. He can lead the team in scoring. He can be that number one center that they need. I can see it. The only question is, will our visions here in New York or New Jersey, as it were, will that be the Mika Zibanejad we see?
I got to, you know, take a step back, too, because I've seen this question bandied about, you know, overall. What do you think, you know, it's funny when you read a lot of the blogs out there and such. How do you think the Rangers did it in the off season? Did they improve the team? I mean, they obviously got rid of people, and the Stefan trade still boggles my mind. Do you think they're a better team than they were coming into this season?
I think it was one step up and two steps back in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. They improved. They won the Shattenkirk lottery. He gave up more money to play for his hometown team, which I respect, A. And, B, I love the fact that the Rangers got him because he's going to be a huge boost to their power play that they need. But the two steps back, as you mentioned, John, it's the Stepan trade. I still don't understand what they saw in Elias Anderson that they needed to give up both Stepan and Antti Raanta.
For
Anderson and what's his face? D'Angelo,
yeah.
D'Angelo, thank you. Yeah, some Rangers fan I am. no, but that boggles my mind. And in that, you know, why did they give up Antti Raanta, a guy who can win you 20 games and be a spot starter when you need him, who can put the team on his back? That's one of the things that the Rangers have had success with in the last couple of years when they've made their deep playoff runs. They had a backup goalie like a Cam Talbot, an Antti Raanta, who can, you know, kind of shoulder the load.
Especially because the last 2 or 3 years, Hank's been injured, and Talbot did it with you guys a couple of years ago. Took you to that was basically the reason why you guys went to the Cup back then. And also now Raanta last year.
Yeah, in 2015, Henrik Lundqvist got hurt in January. Talbot played the majority of the games the rest of the way.
He was brilliant.
He was brilliant. And that play alone got him the big contract from Edmonton, and he's showing now why he earned it.
40 wins.
Yeah,
last year, You know, last year, Antti Raanta was a 20-game winner because Henrik was battling different injuries throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And Raanta was a guy that if Henrik couldn't go, you throw Raanta in net, you're not losing anything. So now they have Andre Pavlik as their backup goalie. And, I mean, Pavlik's a guy who's so hot and cold, it's unbelievable. Last year, in the same season, he spent significant time with Manitoba in the minors, and he had a shutout streak that led the NHL. It's unbelievable how hot and cold this guy can be.
Yeah, and you've got to hope that's the better as far as the other side. Yeah. The question I look at, and I look at the lineup, my concern is, and again, I know he's been a good contributor, but you've got Mark Stahl on the contract books for 4 more years at 5.7 per. And at 30 years old, I think in the last 18 months, I think the skill set on him has come down. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, to me, that's going to be a big question with your defense. I mean, McDonough and Shattenkirk, you know what you're going to get. Brendan Smith, I think, had a real good pickup. And don't even get me started with Shea. I love that kid. But to me, I think the big concern on the team is Mark Stahl for 4 more years.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. Back in 2012, when the Rangers finished number one in the conference, Stahl got hit in the eye with a puck. He's never been the same since. The Rangers are paying him now for the player he was prior to that injury. He's never going to be the same player. And, you know, their defense, Dan Girardi was the one they should have kept.
Yep.
They should have tried to move Stahl. I know no one's going to take him, but, like, if you're going to spend that much money, buy out Stahl, get rid of his contract, keep Girardi, bring up a kid from the minors, and form a good defensive core that you can look to the future. Because you have Stahl for 4 years, but you're basically going out there every night with 5 defensemen.
Yeah, and you got rid of Girardi's on the books for, what, 2.6, I think, on the buyout. I mean, I think it should have been the other way. Truthfully, it should have been the other way around. Obviously, a couple of interesting moves. I truthfully like David Desharnais. I've always been high on him in Montreal. Do you see him as a good solid fourth liner?
Absolutely. He's going to be a great fourth line center because he's a guy who can contribute. He's a guy that can throw the body around, can kill penalties, and if you need some extra energy, he's your guy. That's one of the reasons why Michael Grabner was so successful last year, because the Rangers started him off on the fourth line, and he was getting matched up against other teams' third and fourth lines, and he was having success. So Desharnais is going to be a great fourth line center purely for that reason, because he's going to get matched up against a team's fourth line or a team's third line, and he can pretty much do it all, including, you know, put the puck in the net, which is what the Rangers need.
Let me ask you this question, because, you know, you guys have competed for the Cup a few years back. You go deep into the playoffs, which I can't stand because I'm a, you know, obviously I'm an Islander fan. And you guys are the evil empire. You're like Darth Vader to me. But
hey, remember now, Gary said be nice.
That's right.
But, you know, I'll just tell you real quick. When I was growing up in school, we had a club. I owned a club and a Ranger club, and we used to go at it. I mean, we were winning back then, and it was brutal in school. But just to say, now it's a little different. Because we're looking to go, you know, first round, second round of the playoffs. You guys are actually competing for the Cup again, I would think, or go deep into the playoffs. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think the Rangers right now, the way I see it, they'll be a playoff team. They should, and I say this with optimism and, you know, doughy-eyed schoolboy hopefulness, they should not have to worry about a wild card spot. The Islanders probably your best bet looking like is the wild card because the Metropolitan Division is so strong.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Washington, all the top three. The Rangers are probably just on the other side of that. And then the Islanders, the Flyers, teams like those. I mean, don't even count out the Carolina Hurricanes as a dark horse to be a wild card team.
Right.
Is coming from the Met.
Yeah,
you know, the Islanders really need to, you know, get back to how they were a couple years ago when they went to the second round of the playoffs and lost to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to be that team that can score, that can, you know, stop big players, that can shut down, you know, opposing teams' high-energy lines, and they need that.
Yep. Well, listen, Andrew, it's going to be fun starting tomorrow, of course, at the Garden. Listen, best of luck during the season. I appreciate the few minutes of your time.
Thank you so much.
And
good luck this year.
We'll catch each other down the road, all right, man?
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Good luck with everything this season, but not too much.
Yeah.
Right back at you, guys.
Right back at you, my friend. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, so we go from the Rangers to the Dallas Stars. We're heading out to Big Texas. And my nephew is on the line, Joe Zolo. Hey. What's up there,
hey,
my man?
Hey, man, what's up?
How are you?
Good, good. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, just living the dream down in the central heat of Texas.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I want to ask you a question before we go any further with that, with Texas. How is everybody coping down in Houston? I know it's
well,
a little
bit. Yeah, no,
I know that, but I'm just saying, but you're in the same state. But I just want, how is everybody doing down there?
I think people are starting, you know, I mean, the biggest thing is just drying out. I mean, up here in North Texas, our big thing is we're just trying to donate time and people as much as we can.
Right. Well, we hope everybody's safe down there and everything dried out and everybody's doing well as of now.
All right. So, Joe, to the Stars. Okay. 2 years ago, great season. You know, unfortunately, you know, one win away from the finals. Last year was a struggle. I mean, I was down there. I know I saw it all. A couple of big moves. Obviously, the two-headed goalie monster deal in Dallas is gone. You got Ben Bishop at the top. I think that was the biggest move that Jim Neal could do. Was there any other move that you really think was even more important than to solidifying the goaltending slot?
I think the addition of Ken Hitchcock was huge. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Lindy Ruff, but Ken's defensive mindset, I think, is going to bring a great positive change. Last season, the defensive pairs just were constantly getting shuffled, and it really just seemed like at times they were lost. So I think that as well is going to be a big help. There's only so much a goalie can stop, and he needs a lot of help out front of him. And so I think hopefully Ken's mindset and ideas will help to bring back some change to the blue line.
And obviously, you know, Bishop with his Texas roots is obviously good for the fan base. And I think the biggest question with him, and of course we've seen it over his years when he was a Vezina Cup finalist and making the Stanley Cup finals with Tampa Bay, is the health situation. Is there any concerns that has been brought out to that?
Not anything locally. For those that have followed, that's obviously a concern. But it's not anything that anybody's really focusing on. So for that perspective, I think he's going to be the big one for this season. Mm-hmm. To see how he stacks up. I mean, I think because of the fact that, as you said, the two-headed monster last season, or last couple of years with Kari and Hansi, and that really didn't pan out, I think that puts a lot of really big expectations on Ben. And especially with the fact that in his partial season last year with Tampa and L.A. and his numbers started to kind of slowly creep in the wrong direction, and then the potential issues of injuries, that's a big concern. But it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out, especially again with the defensive changes. Hopefully that will, in theory, lead to a better group in front that can help not put so much strain on the goaltending situation.
Now, obviously, you're at a cap spot at this point, so I know it was hard to make a lot of deals, but they did make some interesting moves. Obviously, getting Garten Martin Hansel in, Radulov is to me, I think, is a tremendous key. He went off a great season, and you got him hooked on for 5 years. So obviously, they're going to be, I assume that Hitchcock's going to be looking heavily into having Ben, Spezza, and Radulov on that top line.
Well, I really would be surprised if you saw Spezza up in the front line. I think you'd still continue to see Ben and Sagan. Their chemistry has worked very, very well.
See, that's amazing. How can you forget about Tyler Sagan? Exactly.
Right, right.
No, Spezza has done tremendous the last couple of years as the second line leader, and dealing with injuries and whatnot as guys move up and down the lines, he's been that real strong leadership position in the second line that has allowed some of the younger guys to move in and out of that second line as necessary. So I really don't see, I'd be very surprised, obviously barring injury or something like that, to see Spezza moving into that top line.
And what I thought was a steal move that Jim Neal did was getting Mark Methot, formerly of the Ottawa Senators, and for about a week and a half with the Vegas Golden Knights. I know that was a constant talk of folks following the Dallas Stars was the defense was having a tough time. But so now having a guy of Mathot's nature, having a Dan Hanhus, along with John Klingberg, who's steadily progressed into a very nice career, you've got three good solid defensemen now to be in front of the Carey Benn story.
Absolutely. And I think the positive, especially with there were some questions with why Mathot. Did Mathot make the pair with him and Carlson work well, or did Carlson just kind of really bring Mathot along? And I think in my opinion, putting Mathot with Klingberg possibly in that top position, like in Ottawa with mm-hmm. Carlson, because Carlson is very much the offensive-minded defenseman, very much like Klingberg. He likes to push in and make some things happen. So I think it'd be really great to see how Mathot would work with Klingberg if that's how they want to pair it.
Right. So now looking at the roster as it stands right now, who is the person you really think that, you know, for us sitting here in New York looking at our NHL package, who do you think is the person that could possibly surprise a lot of people here?
I think you're going to continue to see some of the third and fourth line guys, but guys like Brett Ritchie and Devin Shore, while they're not big number guys, Brett Ritchie really is the kind of guy that he has little issue with using the body and if necessary dropping the gloves really at the right time. You know, when it seems like when the team's kind of sluggish, he seems to know how to make the big hit at the right time to get the bench moving and get things going. And Devin Shore, he's been slowly moving into a full-time position with the team, and I think just from what they saw in him, I think would be in the next couple of years begin to see him moving up in the depth chart into that third, possibly second, but that's years away. But I think slowly start to see guys like those continue. One of the big things that they brought in, I think, 62 or 63 guys into their training camp, which
that's a lot.
Wow. It's a lot.
It's a lot. And the biggest reason why is they're really pushing the lower level guys to compete. And you know what? If you really want to be here, then show us you want to be here. So they're trying some new things, and I think it's going to be exciting to see, especially with the fact that Dallas continues to have one of the strongest farm systems.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of positive future ahead of them. But I think some of the younger guys, like Brett and Devin, I think are going to be surprising moving into this season.
So last question before we let you go, Joe. Obviously, you talk about the fact that you've got a new head coach. You think that, along with a couple of those other moves, is going to obviously, hopefully, change the fortunes and put Dallas in a chance to be dealing in the April dance?
I
know it's hard to put a gun to you at this point.
It is, but you know, I mean, while I'd love to say they're a strong contender for the Cup, and I also am kind of a realist. Let's be honest, this many moves, that takes time to build that kind of chemistry. I'd love to see that and come right off the bat, but I mean, last season the Stars made some moves, and between injuries and just general chemistry changes, that just didn't pan out.
Right.
And especially with the fact that you look at other teams in their division, like Nashville. I mean, they continue to be such a strong presence. I'd be very surprised if I could see them
at least make
making
the dance.
It that far.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I could definitely see them getting to possibly another second round. I'd love it if they could pull off the conference finals, but again, that'd be a very big stretch.
That's a tough division,
but
guys.
I think next year. I really think next year, because they're going to still have a lot of these groups together next year. I think you keep building that that chemistry,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're going to see a real good chance for next season.
Well, it should be a lot.
This season will be great.
Right, so take it what you can, and hopefully you have a lot of fun watching them. Joe, listen, buddy, thanks for taking a few minutes with
good
me,
luck.
And say hi to Mom and Dad for me, and love you, bud.
I will. Love you, too. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right.
So, we stay in the Western Conference. We're going to head out to the sunny coast, to Los Angeles, California. This young lady that's coming on, her name is Leanne. She was on one of my she was like on last year's show or the year before, but she definitely knows her stuff. She just finished hosting the 2017 NHL Booster Club Convention. I don't know if she's fully recovered yet. But
I got sick.
You got sick. Oh, Oh, well.
They're still talking about it over here, how great of a job you did.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Well, my pleasure. So, let's talk. Let's not talk about running trips and making sure you had all your lights in action, but now we're going to start talking some puck. So,
okay.
So the health of the L.A. Kings was a big issue last year. What kind of things were done, you know, to tell us out here that you think is going to help L.A. move out of that struggle of last season's missing the playoffs?
Well, the struggle was real, and the good news is that we have three healthy pieces back and ready to go. We have Anje Kopitar at 100%, and we've got Tyler Toffoli at 100%, and most importantly, we have Jonathan Quick
at
100%.
And his 80% is better than a lot of guys' 100%, but yes, having him at 100 is a great deal.
Thank you. The key is to get those guys back to the level that they had the previous year, or at least their professional average, I guess I would say. 52 points for Anje Kopitar at $10 million a year is not a good thing. When your fourth line center, who makes 20% of what he makes, has the same amount of goals, that's not going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
When Trevor Lewis can score 12 goals and Anje Kopitar can score 12 goals,
yeah,
and they're a combined $12 million, that's not good news in La La Land. So getting those three boys back and playing at the level that we expect them to play at is going to be probably the difference between us making the playoffs and us sitting at home or hitting the links in April.
Who else? I mean, what is the, just to kind of let people know what other moves have been done for the Kings to hopefully improve? I have not really read much about what the Kings have done personally.
Well, the Kings have not done much of anything.
And that's probably why.
On the team side, we have a new general manager. We have a new head coach. John Stevens was promoted from associate head coach to the full-time head coach, and we only had one off-season signing, very low risk, low reward, Michael Camilleri for a year at $1 million.
That's not bad.
He stays healthy.
We signed him to get some speed up with Kopitar and have somebody shoot the puck on net. Our biggest thing is we're not scoring goals. John Quick can do what he does, but we still need to score goals in order to win games.
Right.
What exactly is going on with Marian Gaborik?
Marian Gaborik had a procedure done on his knee. He is back skating and practicing with the team. He did not travel to China. So he has not been into full, game time training camp drills yet. He's doing some stuff, but he's not been cleared for full practice and full contact. He has had problematic issues with his knees over the last several seasons, and that kept him out most of last year. And unfortunately, at $5.67 million, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, for another couple more years. So
we're hampered. We have two big contracts that are really getting, close to nothing production in Marian Gaborik and Dustin Brown.
Yeah, he's
and good. Dustin Brown had a better year than he had previously. The three previous seasons, he averaged 27 points, and last year he was in the mid to upper 30s. So it is improvement.
I guess taking the captain away from put a little light under his butt. But I understand what you're saying. He's not producing like he should be producing.
Correct. He's well past the age of where he's expected to be a 30-goal scorer.
but if we could get 15 or 20 out of him, you know, it's a serviceable role. And, you know, our biggest thing is getting guys to put the puck on net and get it in the net.
Mm-hmm.
We got tons of players who shoot and shoot and shoot, but they're, you know, if you're going right at the chest protector of the goaltender, it's not going to go in by a long shot.
No, then they're saying, oh, shoot, afterwards. Okay, all right. So last big question we got for you, Leanne, because we're running a couple minutes behind schedule here. The comments on Drew Doughty. I know he's one of your faves, but obviously, you know, there's some things on the wall saying, you know, maybe, you know, if things don't improve or things don't change, he may want to possibly look for a change of scenery. Obviously, 2 years left at $7 million before he goes unrestricted. What's your thoughts?
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. He wants to be here, and he wants to play for this team. This is a team he's wanted to play for since he was 5 years old. And he's got two Stanley Cups. He's got the only two Stanley Cups in franchise history as a member of this team, and he'd like another opportunity to get another one. But there's going to have to be a lot of pieces fall into place for that to happen.
Right, and if not, I think you're going to go over there with a lasso and keep him here. Is that what it is?
Drew and I will have a little sit-down over coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, I would love to talk to you longer, too, but
unfortunately, we got to go move on. We're running a little behind. But listen, Leanne, thanks for coming on for the few minutes. Enjoy the season. Enjoy your rest from your convention. You deserve it. You guys did a great job, and we'll talk along the way, right?
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Take care. All right. Take care.
Okay. Last segment of this half hour. We're going to talk to you. Oh, we're going to take a break? Okay. We're going to take a break for 2 minutes, pay a bill, and then we got five more teams to go. We're going to get through to 10 o'clock. San Jose is on the clock, and then we're going to go with Philly, Florida, Montreal, and Toronto to close it out. Sports Talk 1240. Gary, John, and John back in a couple of minutes. Stay loose.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gusbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gusbuster.com and get your Gusbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back for the last segment of Sports Talk 1240, NHL Preview Show. Gary, John, John here with you in studio. And coming on the line is a good buddy of mine from the San Jose Sharks. My buddy Jim Walsh is on the line. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Really, really good. How about you guys?
All right, good. All right, listen, the big question we had when we were sitting here looking at everything and looking at the teams and saying, with the guys walking into training camp, are they getting, like, either Medicare cards or AARP information when they walk in?
You know, it's really funny, but it's not as bad as you might think. Yeah, you take away a couple of guys like Thornton and obviously Joel Ward and Paul Martin, and it's really not that old of a team.
No, we're just busting you on that, Jim.
But those three guys add to the average. You're right.
Now, I mean, how does it feel as a fan of San Jose for the first time in 19 years without looking at number 12 skating on the ice?
You know, it's going to be different. There's no question about that. But the one real issue for the Sharks is they need to fix the power play. And trying to figure out how not having Marlowe there is going to be kind of interesting. But,
yep.
You know,
He was a big factor in the on the power play.
So I mean, so does the pressure now go on somebody say like a Thomas Hurdle? You know, playing he's an RFA coming up at 23. You know, I mean he's making good money, but you know he's going to be the guy. I guess to assume that we're going to need to step up big time.
Absolutely, Hurdle will be the guy replacing Marlowe on the first power play unit. But the power play's really developed into the last couple of years just simply the Brent Burns show. Where, you know, sure, you've got Burns blasting away from the point, and it's nice watching it in the crowd, but when you have four players on the ice that also seem to be watching it, that's not really good.
So is the rumor true that he's going to be also not only, you know, obviously playing the point and sometimes playing forward, but he's also going to be selling popcorn in between periods?
Oh, God, it sure doesn't it seem like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's... But, yeah, you're talking about a team that 3 years ago was right near the top of the league on the power play, and you take a look at the players they have out there, and to go from that to 25th in the league on the power play last year.
Yeah, it was a big downer, obviously. So looking at your lineup, obviously, you know there is cap room, you know, for you guys, and you know you got some guys with big numbers. But it looks at looking at the defensive situation. How comfortable are you with what it looks like you've got? I mean, you've got you know guys that are. That are solid contributors and they're under contract for a period of time. Is there any young talent that's coming along the lines that you think that may have a chance to possibly sneak
Absolutely.
In?
Absolutely. With Derek Cooten last year, a couple of guys that really stood out were Joakim Ryan and Tim Heed, who had come over from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And Heed especially now that, you know, in the expansion draft, they wound up losing Lenko,
right.
He will, with in games where he plays, he will play on the second power play unit. That kid's got a bomb from the point.
Right.
And he certainly will add in, and this also is going to be the year, finally, I think, where Dylan DeMello gets into the lineup in the sixth spot on playing with Brendan Dillon.
Right, because that's what it looks like right now is these 5-6, right.
Yeah, the top four are absolutely solid.
So looking right now in the crystal ball, obviously, you know, the Pacific Division is going to be, you know, I think with the exception maybe of Arizona, who's still in the rebuilding mode, it looks like every team top to bottom in that division is going to be tough. I mean, you have to be obviously concerned with the development of Edmonton. Calgary had a good comeback year and have got a bunch of great defensemen. So, I mean, what do you expect is the most important thing on this team to make sure that you guys are going to see the dance in April?
Honestly, it is the power play. When you take a look at this division, when you're playing in a division with Calgary, Los Angeles, and Anaheim, if you're not scoring on the power play, you're going to get beat into submission every night. They
right.
bring it physically. And if you're not scoring, you're going to have problems with injuries, or just things are going to mount upon itself. This team last year ran into all kinds of injury problems late in the season. And then, so really, it just, the whole thing comes back to the power play.
Right. All right, Jim. We're unfortunately going to push this a little less because we lost a couple minutes, so we're trying to get up. So it should be interesting in season for you in San Jose. Like I said, we wish you all the best of luck, and thanks for the few minutes of time. And I'm sure we'll be catching you along the way, right, man?
Oh, absolutely. Have yourselves a great night, right?
All right. Thanks, Jim, for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we go from the West Coast of California to the guys that lost to the Islanders this afternoon, the Philadelphia Flyers. Sorry, just got a noise in the studio. I wasn't sure whether it was us or our caller getting mad that we beat them today. Alan Ellis, one of my good buddies from Philadelphia, on the line. Alan, Gary, John, and John here. What's going on, man?
How's it going?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, good. So we've been obviously seeing a lot of each other in the last couple of days, you know, hockey-wise. Just give us your thoughts on the off-season setup with Philly, and what do you think? You think Hextall did a good job? Could have did more? Could have did less? What do you think?
He did a heck of a job, and he's really doing a good job now, and I believe in what he's doing. He's doing this thing right, and it's going to start coming to fruition this year. Mm-hmm. I know he played a lot of the young guys today.
Yes, he did.
You know, and they said the Islanders played a lot of veterans, and that's fine. We'll just have to see what happens when they play the split squad come Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Again, obviously, you know, you've been to Long Island a lot, and you know what this meant. So you know that a lot of guys, I'm sure, wanted to play this game at home. But you were listening to game. There was any? Did they say anything about the situation with Laterra after, you know, when he scored that goal and left the ice? Did he come back at all? I don't recall that he did.
I do not know. I mean, I was listening, but I wasn't listening. In fact, I was watching the stream on my tablet today.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I didn't hear anything about it. I didn't see anything from the writers here about it, so I have no idea what happened with him.
How high of an expectation is on Patrick Nolan to make this club? Are they expecting it to happen?
The fans here, yes. Hextall, not so much. I think he's saying, you know, he said what's the truth. He has to earn his way onto the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's played pretty well these two games. But there's still a lot of playing time for him to come. And we'll see what happens. I mean, he's been already on the top two lines.
Mm-hmm.
As is Oscar Lindblom. And they like these guys.
Right.
But to me, the defense is going to be the big thing for this team. And the one guy that I like is Sam Moran.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he played good again today, and he played very well Wednesday night.
Yeah, he did. He definitely did.
Who's, you know, looking at the up and down your roster, who's a guy that you really can just, like, kind of finger and say, this guy's got to step up, and he's really got to do something to make a statement to really advance the Flyers? Because it's a tough division.
It is. Ooh, that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
Obviously, Giroux, but he was hurt. He got hurt, and he had the surgery. And him both, I guess, basically had the same surgeries. And I think it was Giroux that had the sports hernia. I can't remember if it was him or Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see that they struggled much of the year.
Yeah, that's a tough injury.
These surgeries take about a year or so for them to heal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're healed, so.
Right.
They're ready to go.
Obviously, being a longtime Flyer fan, a lot of your struggle for your teams to be successful is obviously behind the net. And we know, you know, there's a lot of pain that you've suffered a long time. Obviously, Mason's gone. Brian Elliott comes in. What's the expectation? I mean, obviously, there's been so many guys over the years that have, you know, come with high hopes and things just don't work out. I mean, I don't know what it is, you know, with the situation with goaltending in Philadelphia. I mean, how confident are you?
I'm pretty confident in these two. To me, I think between these two, it should be very steady. Nothing spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Just go in there and stop the puck.
It's a very simple job, right, Al?
It's
a very simple job.
Exactly. They haven't had a true number one really since Hextall. I mean, they've tried different guys, and in just different circumstances, it just hasn't worked.
Right.
And nothing against all those goaltenders either. You know, you try them, and they're good for a while, and they're not good. But it's also the team in front of them. And those teams were good, but it's just, I don't know. I'm a believer in a true number one goaltender.
Okay, with all expectations of the team this year, and it's a tough division, you know, we got some you know, the Penguins, the Islanders, Rangers, Washington. Where do you think the Flyers are going to finish up this year? You think they're making the playoffs this year? Right in the bubble?
If things break right for them, yes. And like last year, I think they could either just make it or just miss it. And it depends on how healthy they stay, how well. If they bring in four rookies, it's probably going to take them maybe at least a half a season to get used to the system. And if everything clicks, and if they stay, again, if they stay healthy and the goaltending holds up, they might have a real shot at making it. You know? And if they are close, I think the excitement here is going to be really ramped up. I mean, I would love to see them get in.
Yeah.
Some of these young players.
I think they're right in the bubble.
The atmosphere is amazing out there when you guys are playing well. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a fun season in the Metro. Listen, Alan, appreciate the few minutes of your time. No worries.
Thank you, guys.
And good luck this season, and we'll talk down the road, all right?
Yep, all right. And Shaul Apam, you're up next.
Well, he just took.
I get that in.
That's all right. I appreciate it, Alan. Take care, man.
All right, take care, guys.
All right.
Take
well, care. since he took my thunder, we got a young lady by the name of Cheryl LaPalm from the Florida Panthers. Again, she's living down in. She's had a tough couple of weeks, but she's a tough cookie, and she's joining us now from South Florida. How's it going, Cheryl?
It's going, Gary. How are you?
Good, good. I hope everything's getting much better for you down there, and I know Claire and I can't wait to get down there in a couple of weeks. So,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. So tell me, interesting off season down in Florida?
Yes. it's been a little bit different compared to last year. Last year we had a lot of changes with regard to our GM and the coaching at the start of the season, and you know, our defense was switched up, and this year, Dale Collins back, and as a fan, I'm really happy about that. So,
yeah, I mean, obviously, he brought a lot of success into your club. Just looking at my notes real quick. The big question. I know we were talking, long before the show came on, and basically saying it not in a nice way, but Roberto Luongo's not getting any younger. How do you think the confidence level is him? Obviously, at what, 37 now, I think.
Yeah, he's 37. Really.
Have you heard? Has he been chirping?
Well,
confidence. Is his confidence up? I mean,
I think that they have a lot of confidence in Roberto Luongo. He's healthy now, which is good. And something we desperately need. We need a healthy Luongo. I don't think that he's going to be given the same amount of workload as he has in the past. James Reimer really stepped up for us last year, so I think Reimer's going to take more games, and that's going to help Roberto Luongo in the long run.
And I think the unfortunate problem with the Panthers last year was the injury bug. I mean, you guys were really decimated at one point.
Well, yeah, I was there for the Huberto injury. That was awful. I was up in West Point, and nobody thought he was coming back to that. The fact that he came back and the way that he came back is a testament to him and to the training staff and the doctors and everything. I mean, we all thought he was done. It was absolutely amazing.
Right, yeah. So,
and we also had Bukestad, and Barkov got hurt.
Barkov was out.
Of course, Luongo. Pardon me?
I said Barkov was out for a while.
Yep, Barkov was out for a while, so... That and all that came in the beginning of the season, which just absolutely it was awful for us. It's absolutely awful. We never really recovered after that.
You've got.
I mean, we recovered a little bit, but not when Huberto came back. That was a big boost, but it just unfortunately there was too much going on.
I mean, obviously, looking at the roster. Offense is definitely a positive. If all the sun and the moon are aligned and everything, and the guys stay healthy, you've got a very strong top nine on there. So there's little issues with that. To me, the concern after looking at the top is your top two. After your top two on defense, it's going to be I'm looking at CapFriendly.com, and they're only showing five guys. So obviously, you've got a situation you're going to have a lot of youngsters looking for a chance to crack this lineup, and I assume that's going to be the case.
Well, yeah, we just made a trade. I don't know if you all knew that. We had Jason Demers was traded to Arizona, and we picked up McGinn for Demers. And a lot of people are saying that might open the door for the youngsters to come in, for Uygar and McCoshin to come in. But it could also be that we're trying to get Gabranson back, because I do know that earlier in the summer, Talon was trying to get Gabranson. So it really is anybody's game. It's up to Uygar and McCoshin and anybody else who's trying to get in there to take the reins.
Obviously, you know, you're starting the year, you know, with the Battle of Florida, obviously with Tampa, and now the question is, how do you think you guys were going to stand up against them?
Recently, it's been tough, but if we have a healthy team, we should do better than we have. I don't know exactly the makeup or anything, but I'm hoping that we do better. We don't have Yager this year, so that's going to be different. And we'll see how it works out. I hope we do well.
Well, listen, I'm
cautiously optimistic.
Yes, of course. When we all are, it's September. We're supposed to be. But listen, we thank you for the few minutes. And like I said, hopefully Claire and I will get a chance to say hi. And when we head down Florida,
absolutely.
Weeks.
All that's
right.
Hi.
Listen, good luck, and good we'll luck. Talk to you soon. Okay.
All right, take it easy.
All right. Unfortunately, we are only going to do one more team, and I know that Patrick Hickey knows he's got. We're going to do the Toronto Maple Leafs. Unfortunately, we're running short on time. We try to get 16, but we're going to get 15. And the last team we're going to do, and this is the winner for the calling from the furthest away from Long Island right now. He is actually representing the Montreal Canadiens, but he's actually calling from after the game in Vancouver, British Columbia, and his name is Stephen Gillis, and he's joining Gary, John, and John here on Sports Talk 1240. Hey, Stephen, thank you for taking a few minutes to catch in with us.
No worries, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. How you doing?
All right, very good. All right, first off, right off the bat, why is Montreal tampering with John Tavares?
Well, I think it all started with me a while back. Looking at the Bears' contract. And I've been tweeting at Jeff Molson quite a bit my various ideas for how to fix the team.
Oh, so it's all your fault,
Dave?
You can blame me. You know, in Vancouver, we're used to tampering.
Yeah, that's
if you
true.
Remember Jim Benning.
Yes, Benning
was,
has been
fine. $50,000, yeah.
Benning's been known for that, exactly. All right, so now the real big question: how much is Montreal relying on Jonathan Drouin to be the real answer at the possible number one center position?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'd really like to see management and Claude Julien really give Galchenyuk the opportunity he deserves to really step up and become that number one center that I think he could be. When we're at, you know, a point here where we can really have a real number one line with Joanne and then Galchenyuk and Pacioretty, I mean, a real offensive threat. I would hope that would work, but I definitely think Duran's under the microscope, so to speak, and people are going to be looking for him to really step up. But to me, if you can get 53 points in 72 games on a team that doesn't really like you, what will you do when you're in your hometown?
Exactly.
So I'm hoping he'll light it up this year, but also, I really like to see Galchenyuk really own that center position. He's been working really hard. I think they really got to push the chips in and let him do his business.
Obviously, just looking at the rest of the forward situation, Alexander Radulov had a great comeback year. I mean, to me, and I think the fans really embraced him, and I think that was the question I really thought we were going to have last year was, would they do it? And obviously, good play will make that answer very easy. How do you think they're going to – I mean, obviously, Drouin, you know, is the possible answer, but how do you think you can replace a guy like him?
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. I mean, Radulov brought so much to the team. I mean, no disrespect to any other Russian players, but I saw something in him that I don't see in most Russian forwards, like the work and –
the intensity that he brought to every play and the want to put the puck in the net was just something that we haven't seen, and hopefully someone will step up and take that role. But it was a sad day. I threw my hat across the room when that deal wasn't done, when they came in with the late money. I mean, I'm not really sure. Obviously, we never know what goes on behind closed doors, but I really wanted Radulov to stay, and I thought that they should have paid him. He earned his money.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, you know, he'll play pretty good with Dallas, and we won't see them in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now, looking, obviously, the first time in about 12 years, you're not going to see Andrei Markov in the back line. You know, you guys pick up Carl Alsner on a 5-year, $23.5 million deal. What are the thoughts of him? I truthfully liked him in Washington. I think he was a great fit in their system. What's your thoughts on the Alsner acquisition?
Yeah, you know, it kind of brightened my day when I knew that, you know, we lost Emelin and then we're going to lose Markov
right
before 1,000 games in our jersey too, which is, you know, very disappointing, unfortunately. But you know, Alsner could be a bright spot. I think, you know, our defense on paper doesn't look as strong as last year, but I think there's an opportunity again for people to step up. There's also a few young guns down below who may make the team. But, you know, Alsner, I think he did well in the Capitals. I believe he ran the second power play.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so, you know, I can see him contributing there where you have Shea Weber and probably Jeff Petrie on the number one power play. Alsner's probably going to take over on the second PP. And, you know, I think he'll be a good contributor to the team. And, you know, Schlemko and Joe Morrow, there's a few other names there.
Jordy Benn.
Jordy Benn.
Yeah,
Mark Streit returning back. That's true.
Yeah, coming back. And I like Streit as well.
And it sure doesn't hurt, Steven, to have that guy number 31 in the back.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, that's our lucky charm. You know, every Montreal fan has to admit that we all sleep a little better at night knowing that Carey Price, you know, is in our nets.
And you know, about three or four,
I was standing beside him at the airport, and I couldn't. He saw my hat, and we knew, like, you know, this is a fan moment, but I just let him be. He was going fishing. I want him to focus on his fishing and his ranch and then the hockey.
Right, exactly. They're our most important thing. But, you know, I mean, it was 3 or 4 years ago, you know, before he started to get hot. I mean, Montreal fans were almost about ready to cut his head off, and, you know, he just made an incredible turnaround. And, again, you know, you got a lineup that's stacked. You're going to have Montreal's always going to be a team that's going to be threatening for the top, you know, the top two or three positions in the division. I would assume that nothing would be the same. And obviously, you know, as a Canadiens fan, nothing would be successful unless you're carrying Lord Stanley around the most, you know, the Bell Multicenter or whatever they're calling it these days.
You know, yeah, I don't want to go into what is this. How many years is it now for the drive for 25?
24. I mean, 24 years.
Yeah, hashtags haven't.
Yeah, well, we won't say it, Stephen, but, you know, you guys didn't make the cup unless you had 9 guys on the ice in game 3 of the Stanley Cup semifinals against the Islanders in 93. So we still remember
that. We got lucky, too. Toronto should have been in that final. Too.
That's true.
Or not in the final, but at least they should have got past. Or, yeah,
that's the Kings.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, listen, Stephen, we appreciate
got away with it.
We hate to cut it off, but we're, like, real close to the end of the show, so we have to cut it off. But listen, we thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you doing it.
Thank you,
Patrick Hickey, for getting Stephen to come on and join us. Listen, best of luck during the season, and I'm sure we'll be in touch during the year.
Thanks, guys. Have a great year.
All right, you too. Take care. Wow. 15 out of 16. We did pretty good. Patrick, I know you're listening. I apologize for not getting you on. We just couldn't make it, but you're going to be coming on to a show during the season so we can talk about anything, you know, video games, you know, all that other good stuff. So
the fun stuff.
Guys, are you ready for the season? Is it October yet?
It's
coming up.
It's close, man.
Coming fast.
It's close. Listen, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank Paul Kreischer for coming in. And most of all, she's back out in the backside. But I want to thank my wife, Claire, for making all the phone calls and making all the connections. I love you, honey. I really appreciate you doing this for me. And I owe you, owe you, owe you, owe you.
Sure do. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, so opening night's 3 weeks away. We will be back in another 4 weeks or so, I think. So we'll be back talking regular season hockey. The Jets lost 45-20. Who cares?
That's expected.
The Mets, whatever. So we'll talk about that.
The Islanders are stepping up.
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the roof.
Listen,
right,
guys,
now.
I really appreciate you coming. It was a great 2 hours. We could do this.
Thank you,
more
Gary.
Often.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you for Brian Graves for helping everything on the other side of the glass.
Thank you, Claire.
This is
Thank
Gary Harding for Sports Talk 1240. In the words of my good buddy Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody, and good night from West Babylon, New York.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.